welcome to the Everyday Board Game Podcast with Daniel.
And Daniel.
And welcome to our Friday Top 8 Debate. We had some troubleshooting that we did, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. That was a bit fun. Had a bit of an issue at the beginning. We kind of find out that Skype just hogs way too much bandwidth, especially for our poor little app.
Yeah, so we're going to try something
that we're using at the moment.
Exactly. We're going to try something a little bit differently this time around. So if you notice an improvement in the video or the Twitch stream, let us know. Or even if you don't like it, let us know, because we're going to try and figure this out. Hopefully this will help out our stream quite a bit better now. And I am also running off of two monitors now. So if you see me look to the side randomly, that's why. I don't want to scare anybody. So
I'm still running off one, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you over there.
Oh, I know, right? So this week, this is probably one of my favorite themes that we've ever debated on. And that is ancient themed games. Now, that doesn't mean ancient games. I considered putting Senet on the list as my honorable mention. And my justification would have been the fact that it is themed at its current setting. Like, it's about going into the afterworld and explaining how, like, life happens after death, you know, all that stuff. But, I couldn't justify it realistically. It's a phenomenal game that would have been an honorable mention, but instead it's an honorable mention to my honorable mentions list.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a cheat honorable mention, but we'll get to it when we get there.
Yeah. So,
but it was on the Board Game Geek's ancient theme list, so I counted it.
Okay. Yeah, I have a few as well. So we will be going on to those. But as always, we start with our viewers. Let's talk about the ones that were the highest voted from our viewers on the Board Game Revolution poll that we ran. We had probably nearly 100, probably about 70, 80 votes.
Yeah, let's see here, 65, 77, 83... 7, 90, yeah, just a little over 100 votes.
Yeah, so this was definitely a popular theme this time around.
I honestly didn't think it was going to get this kind of reaction, because it's such a out there type of thing we're talking about. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know what surprised me the most is that somebody didn't put Uno on the list.
Yeah, but they usually leave that for a discussion topic. So.
That's true. That's when they troll us harder. But that's okay. So, let's go ahead and start from the top. Our highest voted for that is not on our brackets is Concordia with 31 votes.
And the only reason it's not on this list is because I haven't played it.
Yet.
Yet. The key word being yet.
It's on my buy list. I really enjoyed it.
I'm looking into it. I think it would be really good, but I just haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
So the next game on our list here is Command & Colors Ancients.
Yep.
I've never played a Command & Colors board game. I've only ever played the video game, so I'm not too familiar with this style of game.
Right. Yeah, I haven't played it either. Our next one with 3 votes, Mythic Battles Pantheon.
Okay, so we're both out of order here, so I'm going to have to just go with what I got on my list here. Another one, never played. So, Ancient Theme, as much as I thought I would like it, I don't think I've played a lot of these games.
Which is?
Oh, I'm talking about like Mythic Battles Pantheon and stuff.
Oh,
like
yeah, Mythic Battles, yeah. I haven't so either.
The next one on my list is Age of Civilization.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, the next one on my list... also with 3 votes, was Stone Age, which is one that you and I both have played.
Yes, did not make the list for some weird reason, but I don't know if it's actually considered ancient in the Board Game Geek.
Right, it's probably like, I wonder if it's ancient history, like early civilization, and Stone Age is pre-civilization. Because that definitely would have been on, if the ranking was high enough, it would have been on both of our lists, because you and I have both played it, and we both love it.
So what I'm just going off what I'm seeing here on our list. What I'm thinking is Stone Age, because of the name itself tells you it's in the Stone Age. So it's in the it's in that age. Whereas most of these other games here on our list are in the Bronze Age and beyond.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Doing all right there?
Yeah, it's been a week, let me tell you.
So the next game on our list here that I have is Valley of the Kings.
Valley of the Kings, yeah. Oh, I did skip that one, didn't I? No, I didn't. Okay. Maybe. No, it's different. For some reason, yours and my Facebook posts showed in different orders, so we kind of had to account for that. Valley of the Kings is a small deck builder, which we're going to be talking about more later. Gilbert added it, who's a viewer of ours. So if you're listening, Gilbert, thanks for the ad, because I completely agree. Valley of the Kings is awesome. Next one I have on my list is Hannibal, which I have not played.
Yeah, no, I haven't even played. I've never even heard of that one, so
yeah.
That has me a little bit intrigued. But I'm wondering if it's because I'm noticing a lot of these are like war games when you go with the commanding colors and stuff right. like that. So I wonder if Hannibal falls into that sort of.
I'm sure it's a category factor. Uh-huh.
And before Danny gets tired, let's kind of work through this and fall asleep at the wheel here. The next game on the list here that was added was Kemet. And I have played, I believe it's Cyclades, which is along the lines of this one. Mm-hmm. But Kemet is in the ancient Egyptian world, whereas Cyclades, I think, is in the ancient Greece world.
Okay, that makes sense. The next one that we have added on our end is Tigris and Euphrates, which I own and have not played it yet.
I've never played this one, so.
You might like it. It's a Reiner Knizia, but it's like one of his heavier ones, so maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. Reiner Knizia's hit or miss with me. I've only played, what, 3 games of his now?
Yeah, you've liked all 3.
I'm okay with Ra. Llama's fine. I like Blue Moon City. That's the only one I can qualify as liking.
Well, I mean, those are all positive. You don't dislike them like I dislike some.
Sure. I'll play it if other people are playing it and want to play it, but it's not something I'm going to go out of my way and seek.
Okay. That's all I was assuming.
And if I had a choice to play something else, I'd probably play the other game.
Probably.
Next on my list here is Amun-Re.
Amun-Re.
One I have not played, which I think is another Knizia game, if I'm not correct.
I believe so. Yeah, I think it's another Knizia bidding game. I have my next one here is Mare Nostrum, which I have played. Yeah, that one took us about 6 hours. I'm exaggerating a little bit. It was more like 4.
My thing is about this game is I know it's an Academy game, and I'm very intrigued with a lot of their games that they're producing. However, every time this is brought up, people say historians are going to be annoyed by it. And I was a history major back in college. So this has me worried.
I mean, I am not a historian. I wasn't upset at that. It was a really boring game. Incredibly boring. Like, I want to say it took us more than an hour to start it going. It was pretty rough.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next one.
Next one on my list is Three Kingdoms Redo.
And the last one that I have on my list is Spartacus.
Both games I am not familiar with. I know the Three Kingdoms, ancient China, if I remember correctly. They actually have a really good movie based on that, but I've never played the game. Or heard of it, for that matter.
Okay.
And Spartacus, everybody knows the history of Spartacus, but I've never played the actual game. Now, my question is this a different Spartacus than I'm thinking? Because the only Spartacus game that I do know is the one that they based off the TV show Blood and Sand on Stars.
Yeah,
so
I don't
know which Spartacus this is supposed to be.
That makes you wonder, yeah, because could be. I genuinely don't know. So, hopefully they will say that later on. Let's talk about the comments I was left behind. Ross said, Hannibal does a great job of modeling so much of the Second Punic War. It's so much fun on so many levels and covers so much of the politics, logistics, and battles of the area. Sounds like it is a war game, but it looks like it's a popular one amongst war gamers. You and I, unfortunately, are not war gamers, so it is what it is.
And so Omar adds, no Mare Nostrum or Tigris and Euphrates. And mind you, this is before everything was added on that we talked about.
Right.
And you went on and explained that the way it works is that both of us have to have played the game, so we go through BGG and the top eight and so forth. And so they went ahead and added them.
Yeah, exactly. And Gilbert, who is one of our viewers as well, he said, just added Valley of the Kings. Neat deck builder. Got to hang out with Thomas Cleaver, the designer last year at Gen Con. Really nice guy. I have not met him personally, but I do like the game.
And so the last comment is going to be a little bit longer than some of the other ones here that were kind of short. Larry says, out of Seven Wonders in Concordia, I chose Concordia because it's less abstracted than Seven Wonders Duel, or Seven Wonders for that matter. It's more satisfying manually moving your trade goods and settlers around.
Yep.
And so we do have to make a reference here before we get started on this debate.
Mm-hmm.
Seven Wonders would have been on this list, but we chose, because Seven Wonders Duel, which was ranked higher than Seven Wonders, we decided to go ahead and eliminate Seven Wonders because they pretty much play the same. It's just one is strictly a two-player game that has a different drafting mechanism than Seven mm-hmm. Wonders does, but they're along the same lines. It's just one's for two players and one is officially now for 3-7.
You saw that news too. Yeah, the reprint. They took out that variant. Yep. Which is good, because they got a lot of slack for that.
Well, that's the thing about a lot of games where they try to pigeonhole two players into it, when they mm-hmm. force you to make a dummy player to play against.
Yep.
Then just don't, if you got to make a whole AI player that's just both players are technically controlling and working with, then just take it out.
Yeah.
It's fine when you're using a dummy player, say like in the Automa from Stonemaier Games that they use a lot, because it's actually a really smart AI. You're not controlling it. It has its own moveset. It has its own things that it wants to do. Whereas mm-hmm. in Seven Wonders, both players are controlling it and trying to figure out what would be a better combo for them when it comes to that city, as well as the other person's doing the same thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's a good thing that they took it out.
Agreed. Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Cool. Well, then let's talk about
get into Arnold Dimensions?
Sure. I'll let you start, because two of mine have already been said.
None of mine have been said, and I'll go ahead and start with my cheat one. And it was, the original part version of this game was on the list of ancients. And this is Archaeology, the New Expedition, a Phil Walker Harding card game, where technically you're not in the ancient world, but you're digging through the ancient world when you're digging up Egyptian treasures and stuff like that.
You're experiencing it.
So that's why it's my little bit of a, little bit of a cheat one, but I really do dig this game. It's a nice little fun card game. Probably one of my top five filler games, in all honesty. I can play this one over and over again, and it won't be a filler anymore, but yeah, I really do enjoy it. And the variability from it, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Like those different landmarks or whatever they're called they set up at the beginning. Yeah, those are super cool. Good pick. I agree it's not an ancient game, but I see why you put it on your honorable mentions. mine technically isn't as well, because it's Stone Age is the one. And we were having this discussion on whether it counts as ancient or not. I mean, it's close enough where I'm just going to put it on the honorable mentions. It's a great game.
I agree with you. I agree with that it is an ancient-themed game. But as I said, when we started going through this list and looking at the things, I think, in all honesty, the way Board Game Geek ranks it is anything that's in the Bronze Age, Iron Age type stuff, rather than Stone Age, which is going to be like the cavemans and the mammoths and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Neolithic, I think, is that era called.
Sure. That's one of the things I just don't know much about. You'll notice that.
All right, so the next game on my list is ancient theme, but it's more mythological rather than actual ancient, and that is Lords of Hellas. I actually really enjoyed this game. It deals with the pantheons of gods. You're building statues to them and stuff like that, but you're also earning their favor and getting certain powers out of it. I do enjoy the game. I've only played it once, but I had such a good time playing it. I'm willing to play it again.
Cool.
Plays a little longer than it should. It kind of overstays its welcome, but
that's a shame.
With these big grandiose dudes on the map type stuff, and it's not really dudes on a map, because the dudes on the map are the big giant statues you're trying to build.
It's technically dudes on a map, right? I mean, it's a statuesque dudes on a map. Yeah,
I do enjoy it. It's a fun game, Lords of Hellas.
My number two honorable mention was mentioned not only in the comments, but on the list as well, and that was Valley of the Kings. It really is a fantastic deck builder. Plays 2 to 4 players with only 120 cards. It's super simple. Have you played Valley of the Kings yet?
No, I have not.
You like deck builders.
It's something that I've been interesting to, but I do like deck building. I just mm-hmm. haven't gotten around to it. I almost backed the Deluxe Kickstarter. I just didn't sure. have the money at the time.
I have all three of the normal, like, $20 mini versions of it that are fully compatible with each other. I'll gladly bring it over sometime.
I'm more than willing to try it.
Yeah, because what makes it neat is that every card has its own ability. It has its own, like, currency amounts, so you can actually pay and buy other cards with it. Or you score them for points, and you're trying to collect sets of cards. But the thing is, each card, you can only entomb one of them, which is putting it in your tomb and scoring it for out of the game, but then it's removed from the game until the end where you score it. So it has like that deck mitigation and trying to find out, it's like, well, this one is worth a lot of points if I score it, but it's really powerful now. Do I want to do this right now? Like it, so in a way, it's indirectly multi-use cards. It's super cool.
Yeah, no, it sounds interesting. I do want to try it. And I've looked at it, and I've heard good things about it. I just never actually played it.
Yeah.
So, however, my number one is also a game I've never played. I do own. I just picked it up because of the Gen Con sales, and that's it's either Tale to Huacan or Tale to Wakan, however you want to pronounce it. And I really want to get this to the table. I've looked at the rules. I'm thinking about doing a solo play of it eventually. But yeah, it looks really good. Though I have to say this, the game that I got was really stinky. I had to air it out before I did all the punching.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I've only ever had that like once or twice before where you open the box and you're like, woohoo! Don't know what happened there.
A big part of it is because the wooden pieces that build the pyramid are painted. And so traveling from wherever it came from to here through the middle of summer just kind of made it sweat a little bit. Got the condensation in the plastic baggie. So
maybe
I'm thinking I want to get a cloth bag for it. This way it breathes a little better.
That's a good idea. Well, I mean, you just need to stop buying cheap Chinese knockoff brands of game or versions of games, you know? Like when not the real manufacturers print it, you know, it happens. That also explains the rice paper that it was wrapped in when you got it in the mail. and my number one starts off in an ancient setting and ends fairly close to modern time. That's Nations, the dice game.
Yeah, I knew this was going to be on your list.
Yeah, I really like this game. And it's been years since I've played it. That's the sad part, is I'm still itching to play it again. And it's incredibly simple. It's one of those ones that I got his demo. I was hesitant. Demoed it to everybody who's played it liked it. Every single person.
I have Nations.
Yeah.
But I haven't played it yet.
That's the reason I want to play Nations, is because Nations the Dice Game is so good. But I feel like because of how quick Nations the Dice Game is, it's gonna overstay its welcome playing Nations. I feel like that's possible.
From what I understand, Nations the Dice Game makes Nations shorter. However, Nations makes Civilization Game shorter, because the only other big one at that time was, when it came out, was Through the Ages, first edition.
Yep.
And everybody said, play Nations instead because it's more streamlined, it plays quicker. That's one of the main reasons why you got Through the Ages second edition, was because Nations was such a simpler game. So they had to go in like, let's fix some of these rules. It's still really long, but it's not as long as, say, first edition was.
Right. That makes sense. Well, that was my number one. And yours? And
we've done all mine, so you ready to get started on the quarterfinals?
I think so. So
let's break it down.
Let's break it down indeed. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be debating the top 8 ranked on Board Game Geek that Daniel and I have both played. Sometimes there will be exceptions, as we addressed earlier with Seven Wonders. We eliminated that because Seven Wonders Duel is on the list and is a higher rank. As always, we are going to be debating those over 5 categories. Those categories include ease of play, art and production, meaningful choices, replay value, and game immersion. Starting with number 1, our 1 seed, Seven Wonders Duel.
facing our number 8 seed, Imhotep.
Our number 2 seed, Trajan.
Facing our number 7 seed, Carpe Diem.
Our number 3 seed, Santorini.
Facing our 6 seed, Diceforge.
And our number 4 seed, Ra.
Facing our number 5 seed, Onitama.
So this will be a fun one. We're going to take a very quick break and then come back for the quarterfinals. And welcome back to our quarterfinals. We broke down the games. Let's just jump right into it. We're going to start with our number 1 seed, Seven Wonders Duel, versus our number 8 seed, Imhotep. What are your thoughts on this, Daniel? I know you want to talk about it.
This hurts a lot. Like, the 1 and 8 seed and the 2 and 7 seed are, like, the worst brackets for me.
Yep.
The 3 and 6 is kind of hard, but yeah. These first two brackets that are coming up, this is painful because I love both of these games. I love the 2 and 7. Those are Stefan. That's the Stefan Feld bracket over there. They know how I. You know how I feel about Feld.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You're a big fan, just like myself. See, what makes this is an interesting list for me, the whole list, because I genuinely like and really like all of these games. There's not a bad one. Just every once in a while, I could be like, well, there's some that I'm indifferent to, or like, there's some that, like, I outright despise that we've debated over before, and I have to force myself to take my bias out of it. And, and same with you with games that you've not liked. This is kind of the opposite for us, because we're going to have to force ourselves to not like these games so much. But maybe we'll just, since we all like them, I mean, I know you give Rock kind of a bad time, but it's, like, you still like it. You still enjoy it. And and we need to try it with a bigger pool too.
Going on this list here, Raw is probably my least favorite on this list.
Yeah,
and I own every single game except for Raw and Imhotep, and I do want to buy Imhotep. That's how much I actually like it. Raw, whatever. That's something I need to own.
Right, exactly. All right,
Imhotep, I need to own.
No, Imhotep is phenomenal, and with the expansion, get that too. Alright, so let's start. Seven Wonders Duel and Imhotep. Which one do you like better? And I will take the opposite, because I do like both of them.
I guess I'll take Seven Wonders Duel just because I know that one a little bit better. I've only played a handful of times with Imhotep, so still a little iffy on it. The reason why I think Seven Wonders Duel should move on, there's a reason why it's ranked number one. It is a phenomenal ancient themed game when you go through it. Ease of play, very simple. Replay value, it does have a couple expansions now. Okay. Meaningful choices. You have to be careful with what you do in this game. Because if you take a card that might be helpful for you, it may flip a card that can win the war for you.
Right.
Or you could force someone to make sure you do get that war card by let it be the only one that opens up to that war card. And then you take it, which pushes you down that track.
Right.
Or science, for that matter, too. I've seen more war victories and overall victories than I have seen science, but I have seen a science victory. And when someone gets a science victory, that is phenomenal.
Right? Yeah, it is. I will give Seven Wonders Duel a lot of credit, too. But going up against Imhotep, the way the game is designed for Seven Wonders Duel, there are times where the other player can force you to only be able to choose one card. It's not that common, but it definitely is a possibility. And if you're not ready for that card, you're kind of, you're kind of stuck. Imhotep is always open.
The ability, and with Seven Wonders Duel, too, is I know he wants that war card. I don't need it, but I don't want to leave it there for him to get it. Mm-hmm. I can sell it. I can get some coins that can help me further along the line. So I'm not being, I'm hate drafting in a sense, but I'm not being overly rude about it. I'm just taking it, and it's still helping me rather than making a move that's not helping.
Well, you could hate draft in that pretty well, too. You could say, oh, well, I definitely see you want that card. I'll take 3 coins. But it's less common.
When it comes to hate drafting and, say, regular Seven Wonders, you're taking a card that's not really going to help you, but it's going to hurt them. Whereas in this one, you're taking a card away that's going to hurt them, but it's also still helping you because you're getting money off of it.
Yeah, that's true.
That you could use to buy something later on or help build something later on. So
yeah,
it's
just less useful for you.
When you hate draft, it isn't just about hate drafting. You're still helping yourself in a favor.
Right. And now, full disclosure for the listeners, if you're a long-time listener, you already know our opinions on Seven Wonders versus Seven Wonders Duel. We prefer Duel. Both Daniel and I both.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so it's fair to do this. I would give it Immersion, for sure, Seven Wonders Duel, because Imhotep definitely is not thematic in any way.
I'll give Art and Production to Imhotep. The production value is just so phenomenal in the Imhotep.
I mean, but like, the cubes are nice.
Not as pretty and colorful, but the cubes are there. The cubes are nice when you go into component quality.
Yeah.
You got cardboard through Seven Wonders Duel pretty much the whole way, except for that one little plastic piece for the ward. Other than that, it's just beautiful cards and cardboard. Whereas Imhotep has those really nice boards, the really nice wood. The layout itself is very phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the graphic design in it. It's definitely functional. But I would give art and components to Seven Wonders.
See, no, that's where I have to disagree with you. Yeah, it's basic cubes, but those cubes are functional. And out of Art Production, I would give art to Seven Wonders Duel. But pieces and components and design purposes, I would give to Imhotep. And here's why. The boats. The boats have the little notches that you can put them into the board itself and the area that you're going to go to.
No, they just have a square.
But it's still phenomenal. I thought it was notches. I thought I remember seeing notches in there.
Nope.
But it still works functionally. You determine turnover track through that as well. Each have their own little area that plays well, so you got to pay attention to what other people are doing. You have the boats that are of varying sizes, so sometimes it might take a little bit longer as well as or shorter, depending on how you want to do it. Mm-hmm. Because your first thing is either place on a boat or you move it. You say a boat is going to go do an action. So you could take a really big boat that's not complete just to screw someone over, and now they got nowhere else to go. So
That has nothing to do with graphics, though. Like, that has everything to do with the gameplay. The reason why I think
Seven... it does have to do with the graphic design, because the boats move into the certain area where they're supposed to go with.
The reason I would give it to Seven Wonders Duel is, for the art, for one, we agree on that. The art is just prettier than that. Imhotep, the cover is cool, but the art in the game is the negligible. The art in the game is
browns, blacks, right. And whites,
really. But the graphic design in Seven Wonders, the icons where you're able to know which one you upgrade to, that's really important. All of the iconography with the war and the sciences, they all make a lot of sense. Whereas Imhotep, sure, if you want to give it the pieces to the big giant cubes for components, that's fine. But the iconography does not make a lot of sense, and there's a lot of words over all the boards and the cards explaining it because they chose not to go with iconography. Yes, you do know, like, which cubes go when, and the actual function of the game is elegant. It has the same components as Seven Wonders, with the exception of that plastic war piece, which is an advantage for Seven Wonders. Seven Wonders has everything Imhotep does, and then some.
I'm sorry, you broke up a little on that one. Was that?
Oh, I was saying that. Imhotep does not, or Seven Wonders has everything Imhotep has and more, because the iconography on Seven Wonders really is better than the ones in Imhotep, and it's, you know, functionally what you're doing. You even have, like, the reference card on how to lay everything out, and that doesn't need verbal explanation. It's just, I feel like that nudges that better for production.
Alright, I'll give you that.
Okay. But
just because I don't want to argue.
That's fine. I know we're on the first round, but meaningful choices, though, they're both really powerful, but I would say Imhotep. Because the timing that's involved in it, it's way simpler. Oh, let's say ease of play. I think Imhotep is easier to play, hands down. It's very simple, because the only difference between anything is how you score. Put a cube, take some cubes, use a card. That's it. Or sail a boat.
My only issue with that is I get what you're saying, both the simplicity part of it, but the likely get to a table, I think Seven Wonders Duel has a better chance of getting to the table.
Yeah.
Because one, it's more colorful. People see what it looks like in the back. And when you look at the back of the box of Emotep, people are going to be turned off when they go, how does that beautiful cover turn into that game?
That's a good point.
And they're both very prone to AP, but I think Seven Wonders Duel, because as you were putting it on the graphic design, iconography make it a lot easier to understand that if I get this, this will upgrade later on. This is the shape that I got. Whereas I remember the first time I played Emotep, I had to keep going back like, okay, what does this do again? What does this do again? The first time I played Seven Wonders Duel, or Seven Wonders for that matter, the iconography is phenomenal. And that's the reason why I think he's a player should go to Seven Wonders Duel, because it's less likely to have that AP prone plus the initial possibility to get to the table than over Emotep.
You know, it might get, I think you have a good point. Like, the theme in it is really likely to get to the table. You have a valid point there. But the fact is that you're going to be staring at the layout of the cards and the ones that you can and can't see, and you're going to be, that's going to cause you way more AP versus, oh, which boat am I going to put my cube on? You know, like, that your options are incredibly simple in Imhotep.
Yeah, the moves are incredibly simple in Imhotep, because that's just the Phil Walker Harding thing. The only problem is you're going to get along with it. Do I send the boat, or do I put my cube on the boat, or
yeah.
do I take cubes? What do I do? What would make the most sense? I've seen with Imhotep in a four-player game at the shop where that could become an issue. Whereas in Seven Wonders Duel, every time I've played it, people already kind of know what they're going to do based on the layout of the cards. They know this card will upgrade this card. Am I going to go military? Am I going to do this? When you're reading the cards, it says, hey, if you got this, or you pay this resource to do it. It's much simpler, and it's less likely to lead to analysis paralysis than, say, Emotep. Just because, even though it's so simple, there's still a lot going on where people are going to have to think of how they got to play properly.
For Seven Wonders?
No, for Emotep.
I mean, I thoroughly disagree, but let's call it a wash. Let's say it's a wash for those, since we're disagreeing.
Well, the fact of the matter is, again, the problem with Emotep and Seven Wonders Duel, we're talking about a four-player game and a two-player game going up against each other.
Right.
And
there's still less to do in a four-player game of Imhotep, though.
Not necessarily. Again, you're also thinking about the fact that the big part of Emotep is that you got to play the other players, too. You got to read how they're going to do things. And that's going to lead people to having analysis paralysis, because then you're going to have to decide, do I send the boat now because I know he's going to overload it with more pieces if he goes on that boat? Or do I wait and load over here? This way I have a better possibility to go into this section as this section, or do I want to be the first one in this section?
I get that, but what I'm saying is that each card in Seven Wonders has its own factors into what you have to do to buy it, what you have to do to take it, and what it's going to do for you throughout the game. If every spot on the boat had a different action, then yes, maybe. But you're taking a different action every turn that changes.
What you're talking about is the different spots of the boat. The fact of the matter is there's three things you do on a turn, or can do on a turn. It's either take cubes, move cubes, or move a boat. Now, you're going to determine that against three other players if you're playing a full contingent. I only have to compete against another player in Seven Wonders Duel. There's less likely of analysis paralysis because I have to read Dom over here, Bryce over here, what you're going to do over here. I got to function how three people are playing compared to one other person.
But even in Seven Wonders Duel, though, also, let's say I take a card and it flips over two face-down cards. Then that's two more wrinkles in your plan that you had the turn prior. That you have to now reanalyze to
and not have as much analysis paralysis. What we're arguing is analysis paralysis.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You're like, all right, I had a plan. Oh wait, now my plan has changed
because of analysis paralysis. Will it be Seven Wonders Duel or will it be Emotep?
Wait, what?
Which game would be slowed down more?
Seven Wonders. Oh, hands down, Seven Wonders would slow down way more.
Seven Wonders, not Seven Wonders Duel.
No, Seven Wonders Duel. Because as soon as...
Which would you rather play with our mutual friend who has that AP...
Imhotep. I would rather play Imhotep with him.
I would rather play Seven Wonders Duel because I know how to read them in that one.
I got you beat because I've actually played both of them with him. And it was way more palpable on Imhotep. I won't give this to you.
One. Nope. I think that, and because I've seen it when I'm playing against people I don't know, AP prone has led to a problem with Imhotep for me.
Okay, well then we have to call it a draw, because then a wash, even though I disagree, but we're going to call it a wash, because that's what we've agreed, since neither will budge. Okay. Anyway.
Replay value.
Huh?
Replay value goes to 700 gold.
For minimum no, that would be Imhotep. They both have the same number of expansions, I believe.
Imhotep only has one. Seven Wonders Duel has two.
Okay. Wait, does it have two?
Length of time and scaling well. Yes, Seven Wonders Duel has two.
Length of time and scaling well would be going to Imhotep. And then minimum number of plays. Okay. I'll give it for minimum number of plays, but scaling is Imhotep by far.
Well, that's because you can only play two people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but it's still a lot longer. So Seven Wonders goes on, if my math serves me right.
Yeah, Seven Wonders will go on.
Okay.
Because the only one we didn't argue was Game Immersion. But we got a wash in Emo.
Oh, no, we argued Game Immersion. It's Seven Wonders Duel.
No, we argued Meaningful Choice.
No, but Immersion is Seven Wonders Duel. We agreed on that without having to argue.
Yeah,
yeah, there's it's not thematic. Imhotep. So yeah, Seven Wonders Duel moves on. Our next one, Trajan right. and Carpe Diem, Battle of the Stefan Felds. I'm just gonna.
I know which one I would prefer.
I'm gonna flat out and say it. I know which one is gonna move on, and that's Trajan. We and both like both of them.
Hear me out.
Yep.
Yeah, they're both good games, but the reason why I think out of everything that Trajan moves on, it's Aren't Production. Both aren't pretty games,
mm-hmm.
but. We're both colorblind. Which game is easier to actually see?
They're both pretty bad. No, yeah. Trajan. Yep.
Well, we can see Trajan a lot better. Carpe Diem, and this is my big issues with Olea games in general. They brown and green everything. There's building pieces that you're putting into your little board that are so close. I have to pay attention. There was a time when we were playing Carpe Diem that I try to claim, what is it, one of the in-round goals or something like that, and you're like, oh no, because those are two different colors. And I was like, Dad. And I thought I had built this nice thing, and it's because of the two different colors on there that look exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they really do. Yeah, some of those rooftops on Carpe Diem is just... I think they fixed it a little bit in the second edition or the remake edition, version. Yeah.
Because they got rid of the little crisscrossy thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just... I like Carpe Diem. It's a good game, but that's a game that needs to get out of the Alea line, because Alea is really bad about these browns and greens, and that's my mm-hmm. problem with them. That's why I yep. don't really buy a lot of their games.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. All right, so Trajan moves on. Yep. There's really not much. Ease of play would go to Carpe Diem. That's the only one. But I mean,
yeah, just because there's so much going on
Trajan is not a simple game.
Just doing one thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Santorini and Dice Forge. This is interesting. An abstract strategy versus a dice building game.
That's why it's called Dice Forge. It literally is a dice building game.
Yeah.
You're forging dice in this game.
Yep.
I know which one I would prefer. I own both of these games, actually. So yep. I know which one I would prefer.
I'm a fan of both. Well, then let's just quickly run down the list real quick. Ease of play, Santorini.
Santorini, hands down.
Yep. Art and production, Dice Forge.
Dice Forge.
Yeah. It's a beautiful production.
The production value in Santorini is gorgeous, but just with everything that's going on
yeah.
in the design and how you're using the box as a place to hold the dice faces.
Right.
And Dice Forge is just phenomenal.
Game immersion goes, I think, would value. Go to... Replay value goes to Dice Forge.
Yeah, because they do have an expansion for it. Oh. That is actually a modular expansion. There's two different things that you can do with it. That's what's really neat about
right.
it. Which, so it's two expansions in one.
And that's not to discredit Santorini's player roles, and they have a whole heap of them in the game. But, I mean, that's still, you're playing the exact same game. just slightly different abilities. Yeah,
the thing is, Dice Forge counteracts that too with those other cards that you can use. You got your basic cards, mm-hmm. and then you got your advanced cards.
Yep, exactly. So
it's like
Dice Forge, Immersion. I would say neither of them are particularly thematic, but I would probably say Dice Forge with it.
I would too. The theme matching mechanisms, I mean, if you want to go with the fact that Dice Forge says it in its name, you're forging dice, it matches its mechanism really well on that point. But the theme matching it, really, you're just trying to become a new god?
Yeah, exactly. It makes no sense. So that means Dice Forge moves on. And we'll be going up against Seven Wonders Duel.
Team? This is going to hurt because I love both of these games.
Yep. I know which one I prefer, but we'll find out. And our next one, our final round for the quarterfinals, is going to be Ra versus Onitama. I know which one you like better. We already went over this. It's Onitama. We know this. Neither of them are thematic. I own both. Neither are thematic.
You can't really call Onitama really in a thematic game because it's abstract strategy. The whole point of that is it's abstract.
Right.
There's no theme. You can, because this one is supposed to be like ninja schools or something like that. A master and his apprentices facing another master and his apprentices. You could do this. You could put like a chess theme on it where it's a queen and a king versus right. with knights facing another.
Yeah, exactly.
But the same could be said about Ra. It's ancient Egyptian theme, but you can put a push-your-luck game in Vikings and it would still work at its core.
Right, exactly. No, there's no theme in either of them. So Immersion, I want to say I would probably just give Immersion to Ra because of the press-your-luck thing is pretty exciting. That's, and I'm pulling at straws here, but I mean, like, there's no real excitement in Onitama.
I would give the Barely. Game Immersion itself in Onitama, just because I've played both games, and I know more moments that I've had with Onitama. The first time I played it, I'm like, oh my god, let's play it again. The first time I played Ra, I was like, yeah, I'm good. It's just, it's a push your luck. It's...
Right, but like that push-your-luck mechanism is more exciting than just like an abstract thinky puzzle. Now, I think there's more meaningful choices in Onitama, but I think I'm saying if we had to pick one of them, I would give it to Ra because of the inherent nature of that push-your-luck.
I wouldn't because of the inherent... Because if I'm going to choose a push-your-luck, it ain't going to be... I'm going to play Celestia because I'm going to have more fun than Ra.
But that's not what we're debating.
Onitama, I remember playing it. And I'm like, okay, let's play it again and play it a little bit better. Try to figure it out. Be like, I don't want to use this card because I need to save it. Do I use this other card? And then the trash talking across the table. I just think I push your luck. Yeah, inherent nature. It's going to lead to more memorable moments. It's not.
Then let's call it a wash because, like we originally implied.
I'll give you a wash. But here's why. Just because something is a fun mechanic doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be inherently better. Because
I didn't say better. I said more exciting.
It's not, honestly. Dead Man's Draw. You know how I feel about Dead Man's Draw. I don't care much for that game. It's a push or lock. I don't get excited when I'm playing it just because I don't like it. Onitama. Abstract strategy. You know how I feel about abstract strategy games. Right. I get more excited when I think about playing Onitama than anything else. The mechanism isn't inherent to becoming more enjoyable.
That's the thing. Abyss is going to be my example of that because it's a game I don't really care for, but that press your luck in it is probably the most exciting part of it. So if you compared like Abyss to Onitama, I would still say Abyss is more immersive because that mechanism is just more exciting. Now, but we'll call it a wash. We'll let the viewers at home decide for that because this is still the quarterfinals and we got to get this rolling. Meaningful choices, Onitama.
Yeah.
Ease of play. Let's say replay value. That's an easy one. That's Onitama because it has all the expansions and all the variables of the or all the different cards,
some of the cards
it's inherently like that, yeah, more replayable.
So that's pretty much going to give it to Onitama.
Yeah, that's going to give it, because I would have given art and production to Onitama as well. And that's because of the uncolorblind friendliness of Raw. Even though its production is so much, it's really good, but I can't, in fairness, compare it to Onitama and say that it's better. It's not.
Well, here's why I would say it. The art is subjective, really, when it comes to Onitama, because it's there, but it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go down to the pieces and components, you have those beautiful, chunky little pieces that are your characters. It comes with a playmat in the thing itself. So that's the main reason why I would give it. Raw itself is very uncolorblind, unfriendly. And
yeah,
honestly, I don't get the love for Raw. I did not enjoy it as much as you think I did. I'm okay with it.
Because we played it as a two-player game. That's why.
Well, I honestly don't think I'll like it even with more players. It's passable at best for me.
Let me bring it over on our next game night. It's a 30-minute game. We'll knock it out real quick. Then we'll see if your opinion changes, because I think it will.
I don't think it will. Just because I played something two-player compared to the full contingency doesn't really change my mind. I can get the full scope of a game on a two-player game. Mm. I play a lot of Push Your Lucks, and the fact that Raw is just not something that's enjoyable to me compared to, say, a Celestia, which I've played two players, I've played three players, I've played up to six players. That's my issue with it.
Okay. So you're a Raw hater. Got it. Onitama moves on. Which makes it up against Trajan in our semifinals. So, do you want to tell us how many votes we got on each of the ones that were eliminated?
Okay, so starting with Emotep. Emotep is part of a four-way tie when it comes to fan votes, and that is at 3.
Okay.
Next up on our list here is Carpe Diem. Carpe Diem was our lowest voted game with 1.
Yep, which is a shame.
And Santorini, which was eliminated by Diceforge, was next. Well, not next on my list, but it was our second vote getter at 12.
Okay.
And finally, Raw, which was eliminated, was another one of the games that was tied at 3.
All right. Well, it's a good thing it didn't come down to a tiebreaker. We're going to take one more quick pause.
If you're doing the math here, and I said Carpe Diem was the lowest, and Santorini was number 2, and Raw and Emotep are already eliminated, you can kind of find out which of the other two games that are tied.
Yeah, you could probably figure it out,
the other
right?
ones are on this list, so.
Right, exactly. Cool. Then we're going to take a very quick break, and then we're going to go into our semifinals. And welcome back to the Top 8 Debate. Semifinals for ancient themed games. Holy cow, did we have a debate at the beginning part of it. I mean, we basically had to push it along because we were not budging on a few of those. But it all doesn't matter now because we're at the semifinals and there's clearly not going to be any argument here.
Yes.
Our first one is going to be Seven Wonders Duel versus Dice Forge.
And the next one will be number 2 seed Trajan facing the number 5 seed Onitama.
Yep. So we had two upsets.
Daniel over there is, you know, on another screen rather than next to me because there might be fist fights going on here soon.
It might. I mean, if you push one of these games as hard as I think you are gonna, it's gonna get upset. We're gonna be upset. All right. So, Seven Wonders Duel versus Dice Forge. I know which one I prefer.
This one's hard to me. I really enjoy both of these games. These are both in my collection.
Yep.
These are both like, if someone says, hey, let's play this game, or let's play Dice Forge, I'd be like, okay, sure, whichever one that works for me.
Yep. I personally would prefer Dice Forge.
If I have to be logistic about this and say which one is the better overall game, I would say Seven Wonder Duel.
Okay. I personally think Dice Forge, so let the debates begin. So I'll take Dice Forge. Let's talk about ease of play. Going back to your flawed argument earlier, Seven Wonders Duel, you say, is incredibly easier. Although, As much as I disagree with you on versus Imhotep, because Imhotep is significantly simpler than Seven Wonders, I will give you that Seven Wonders is simpler than Dice Forge. Not because dice rolling is difficult.
I had a nice argument for that, too. Way to go and taking it away from me.
No? No, I'm not going to give you it. Sorry. no, I'm not bitter. I'm not salty at all.
I think Seven Wonders Duel is easier than Dice Forge. I
let it go. That was last round.
No, we're talking about this round. Why Seven Wonders Duel is easier than Dice Forge.
Okay, yeah. No, it is. I agree with you.
No, I'm just
gonna drink my pool of water and let you.
Because I had an argument for it, because you actually made me leave the table where I was teaching one of your games and go teach Dice Forge to a whole other group who were trying to learn it off the from the rule book. So I was like, okay, sure, yeah, I'll go teach it, because someone has to teach you Dice Forge. It's not something that is very easy to read from the rule book. And the rule book is small. It's like four pages.
Bifold.
It's just there's a lot going on in it.
You know what the funny thing is? So I didn't tell you to go do that. You and me, like, both paused, looked over at the table, and just went. And then you went over there and started teaching. There was no verbal communication, but we knew what was going on. Yeah, no, I agree. Oh, yeah. Seven Wonders Duel is just the easier game. It is.
Especially when it comes to, like, teaching. And be truthfully honest,
mm-hmm.
likely to get to the table is the only one that would be harder. Just because people would look at it and be like, ooh, this has dice. But then once they start opening the box and looking at it, be like, oh.
Yeah. It looks significantly more complicated than it is. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I get you that. But yeah, Seven Wonders Duel wins ease of play, hands down.
Let's give art and production to Dice Forge.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. Don't get me wrong, the art is beautiful in Seven Wonders, and a bit better than what it is in Dice Forge, but just the way everything works and the graphic design possibilities in Dice Forge is just amazing.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. All right, so Dice Forge gets that point. Is there any others?
Here comes
a fun one. Huh?
Here comes a fun one. Replay value.
Replay value. So they both have expansions.
Seven Wonders Duel has that.
Yep.
We'll just leave it at that for now.
Mm-hmm.
However, length of time and skilling well, I think that goes to Dice Forge. Just for the simple fact that Dice Forge, even at a 4-player game, plays quicker than Seven Wonders Duel.
At a 2.
Just because it's dice rolling the entire time.
And you know what the funny thing is? So I play this online on Board Game Arena from time to time, and we play it in like 15 minutes, like, because we're not fiddling with the dice. You click the icon that you want, and it adds it, and you're done.
That's the longest thing that takes place in Dice Forge, is that you're fiddling with the dice right then and there. You're playing the dice as you go home.
But now, here's the thing, though. As far as minimum number of plays for full experience, I would give that to Dice Forge. And that's because what you brought up earlier is that all those variable cards, you flip them, or you get the B stack, and then, like, that alone adds such a wrinkle into the whole premise of the game. Every single one of those has an alternate ability. Every spot in that game has an alternate option,
Not every spot. Those variable cards only take out certain cards. So some cards will always be in all the games.
Right.
Whereas other cards get taken out. But yes, I get what you're trying
to say. The only variability in Seven Wonders is the Wonders.
Well, not just the Wonders. The Guild's cards. You're only going to put so many in there, so there's going to be some that are not going in there. But you don't even see the Guild cards to the third era.
Yeah, exactly.
However, I agree with everything you just said. I just do want to say what I like about it and why it's neat when it comes to the replay value of this, and it goes with the scaling. Well, you're taking cards out depending on the number of players. So every deck of cards has 4 cards to it. If you're playing a 3-player game, those decks are only going to have 3 cards.
Yep.
So someone could get 2 of one card. They just have to be smart about how they do it. I do have to give credit to Dice Forge on that. That is a very simple setup.
Yep, very simple option that they did. So, there we go.
Cool. Meaningful choices.
This one would have to go to Seven Wonders because
Seven Wonders Duel. Yeah, I agree with you.
The choices of what you're buying, what resources you take, and what abilities you do, that is all meaningful. But you're still, when it comes down to it, you're rolling the dice and you're hoping to get, if you roll better than me, you guarantee we'll win. It's just, and there's not that variability in some wonders.
In all honesty, the impact of long-term strategy for Dice Forge is, do I make one dice really, really powerful, or make one dice a support dice, mm-hmm. or do I spread the wealth? That's really your long-term strategy when it comes to these dice fixes, yep. because other than that, you're beholden to how the dice work, because if you get a lot of money in the beginning of the game, you're adding more dice face to your your dice, but it's not really, if you're not rolling like shards, you're not going to be able to go out into the area and collect cards and get victory points that way. So that's, you're all beholden to the dice. It's
very exactly. Luxury. All right, so that gives 2-2, and game it comes down to a game immersion, as it always does.
Dice Forge.
Do you think so? I mean,
matching the mechanisms, Wonders does match its theme.
Yeah.
But the mechanisms is about building a powerful dice and stuff like that. So they're both kind of there. I would give that to maybe Seven Wonders Duel. But the interaction with the other players that are playing the game, and when it comes to like table talk and the joking around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In the memorable moments, I've had way more memorable moments. I remember cursing you out because I was saving up to get one of the dice face that I really, really wanted, and you ended up taking it. I'm like,
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Like, I love that idea. Yeah, I love that idea where all people roll. It's like, even if it's your turn, everybody rolls their dice, and you hear me go, yes! Yeah. And you're like, wait a minute, I don't care about my turn all of a sudden. What happened over there? It's like, I rolled 2 6s.
Yeah.
Boom. You know, yeah.
I have to mention this is my personal favorite thing is, I don't know if it was with you or I think it was with my friend, my wife and her and a couple friends of ours, Angel Maria, where they rolled, someone had the x3 in the mirror dice face on their thing and they rolled both of those. And I had it was +3 or +4 victory points.
Oh, God.
And so she mirrored my victory points and then times it by 3. So,
wow.
I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
12 points off of your die. Wow. Okay, yep. It's more memorable. So that means that we got to give it to Dice Forge.
Yeah, I have to say it. And you know how much I do think Seven Wonders Duel. I like Dice Forge more than Seven Wonders Duel. I just think Seven Wonders Duel, to me, before we started this, was the better game. But apparently it isn't.
Well,
it was close, though.
Yeah, it was very close. It did not go down without a fight. So now, Trajan and Onitama.
I know which one I think is the better game. And you, I think you agree with me on this
Probably. So let... Trajan. Yeah, I prefer Trajan. Onitama is a brilliant game, and I adore it because I love abstract strategies. It really does hit everything that it needs to. But Trajan, I just feel, is a better game just because of everything that it has to do. So let's go down the list.
As I'm looking through the list, I think Onitama will move on.
I don't.
I think it wins 3 categories. It gets ease of play, hands down. You cannot even argue the ease of play part.
Nope, I won't.
Replay value, I think it gets as well, because the length of time to play the game is better. The minimum number of plays,
the scaling,
you have to play more.
The scaling goes to Trajan, because it is just a two-player game. It's a short two-player game, I'll give it that. But the track that you move based on the number of components you move, that you control the timing in the game, that is way more valuable. Even as a two-player, that scaling is really neat, because I could force end game versus like you and me, we're just moving our same pieces back and forth, you know. I can purposefully start moving more of my pieces just to force end game, and you could do that from 2, 3, and 4 players. It's I think the scaling goes to Trajan. Additional content goes to Seven Wonders.
Because those are in the same category, we just have to call that a wash.
Why?
Because I think the length of time is better in Onitama, whereas the scaling well is better in Trajan. We have those together.
Okay, we'll give it a wash then. Yeah, because minimum number of plays
full experience, Trajan. I think goes to Trajan.
Okay.
I, I have to say that goes to Trajan. Expandability, I think, goes to Onitama.
It does. Onitama has two expansions. Trajan does not have any that I'm aware of.
So replay value is pretty much a wash thing.
Okay. Then it's a wash. Art in production. Would you give that to Onitama?
I'd give that to Onitama, yeah. Hands down. Just because, again, the art, what art there is much better than in Trajan. I'm sorry. Yeah. The pieces and components are better in Onitama, and I guess the graphic design works better for Onitama.
Yeah, it does.
Plus, it comes with a playmat. I mean, playmats, if it comes with it, it might work better for me.
The only thing I would argue against it is the box for Onitama is really obnoxious.
Yeah, I'll give you that. The box is annoying, but...
Like, I remember meeting with some of the reps from Arcane Wonders during a Gamma trade show, and they were like, look at this beautiful game. We designed it to look like a really expensive bottle of scotch. I'm like, that's a great slogan. I don't drink, so you just kind of sold me away from it. I don't want that on my shelf.
And it's hard to find a spot for it on the shelf. I have it, like, tucked away in a little corner over here because it's the only spot I could really find for it.
I used to have it
up there.
I have it wedged on top of Spirits of the Wild, which is about a Targi-sized box. But I also have Jaipur sitting on top of it, horizontally, and then I have both my Senate and my Moncala board vertically next to it, with another box on top of it. It's really weird.
I had a little gap between, because I keep things together, and I think it's my Merlin, my Stefan Feld area over here. Mm-hmm. So Merlin, you know, is in a normal-sized box, and the rest of the Felds are in the layout boxes.
Right.
So there was that little shelf space that Merlin still had, so I put it on top of that. And then I had my other awkward box, Times Up, sitting on top of that, and it's laying down, not standing up.
Now, one of the wrinkles I do want to throw at you, though, real quick, is, I agree, the component quality is really good in Onitama, but Trajan is probably the best component quality for a Stefan Feld game. It's better than Castles of Burgundy. It has better pieces than... I know you're shaking your head because you're thinking Merlin. That's probably the better one. And I know Forum Trajanum, I think, is a better components as well. But, no, better components, yes. Yeah, the pieces are nice. Okay. But the thing is...
Honestly, the components are much better in Forum Trajanum than Trajan because they're basically just a pile of cardboard.
Yes, but like all the wooden pieces in Trajan, you actually have the Trajan wooden pieces. The cards themselves are pretty good. The ship-shaped tokens... Those are pretty cool that you remove from the board or replace it depending on the round. You know, like that. That's pretty cool. There's some good component quality to it. But I think what knocks it down the most is like those weird little hexagon colored pieces that you move over. Like, why? Like, I mean, the board is still nice too, but it's not to say that it's bad. It's one of the best Stefan Felds. But it's just, it doesn't compare.
Like I said, Castles of Burgundy is my 1A, Trajan's my 1B. Yep. Merlin's probably number 2 on my list, but Trajan's way up there. It's something I do want to get in my collection. I just haven't got it yet.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. So art and production goes to Onitama. Ease of play, Onitama. Replay value, wash.
It's a wash.
Meaningful choices is Trajan.
Trajan.
Yep. And immersion. So...
I honestly, as much as I think Onitama should win this one, I think Trajan does have the better immersion. The only thing is the theme matching and the mechanism on both of these.
There's more theme in Trajan. It doesn't
not by much.
Not by much. But I mean, like, you're literally...
I think the big problem with that is because there's so much going on in Trajan. You're either fighting up in the north or you're dealing with the Senate down here and you got that other little map that you got to deal with. There's like the three different areas.
Yeah.
So they kind of fit there, but you could even say that this thematically could be any period. This could be, said it earlier, Vikings, or you can even make it during the samurai issue going on in Japan where you had the different samurai clans conquering different parts of Japan.
Yeah.
Whereas the houses are working together at the bottom, which could be the Senate. So it's there, but it isn't there.
Yeah, but that's also comparing it to the theme. It's like I am a martial artist master. You're my apprentice. Use monkey style and stay over there. Like, what is, like, I need to get to his bridge? Like, why why is this a thing?
I will say this about Onitama. It did something I didn't think was possible. It gave theme to chess.
It took away theme from chess. Chess is more thematically accurate.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of knight do you know goes in an L section?
What kind of monk defeats somebody in martial arts battle by getting to their temple?
Well, that's actually thematic, because a lot of times if you destroyed someone's home temple, you actually took honor away from them.
Yeah, but he's not destroying it. He's just going to the steps. He's going up and going, base, I win. Like, I brought the flag.
You know what I think that Onitama would be a really good game of?
Huh.
Capture the flag. It would. Thematically.
It would be really cool. It would be really cool. Like, once somebody gets the flag and you have to bring it back, then that would be super cool. Unfortunately, it's not. So I would give immersion to Trajan.
Yeah, so would I.
All right. So that means that Trajan moves... Oh, no. It's a tie. What did our voters say?
Oh, it is a tie.
Yes, because replay value is tied for both.
You want to take a guess?
I'm guessing Trajan. Although I've been proven wrong before.
It moves on. Onitama, since it's been eliminated, was one of the other games that was tied for 3.
Yep, I believe it. I would totally believe that.
Seven Wonders Duel was our number one game and was number one by a large margin.
Well, second only to Concordia, which you haven't played.
Well, Concordia was still 3 behind Seven Wonders
Duel.
Yeah. Whereas that our actual number 2 on this list, which was already eliminated, Santorini, 34-12.
Yeah. It was a significant jump ahead. Yep.
So
that's just how it
that
works.
That tells you that there which one is ranked higher than the other when we go down to tiebreaker.
Yep. And this is going to be interesting because now we're causing a ruckus again. Like, normally we do it before we do the debates, but now, you know, it all is broken loose. So, we're going to take a very quick break, or are we going to go straight into it?
Go straight into it.
Let's go into it. All right. So, as always with our finals, this time being Dice Forge and Trajan, we do not pick a side. We do not argue our side. We simply just go down one for one and decide which one, if any of them are obvious, and whichever one has the most votes. There are two categories I feel are very obvious right now.
I wonder if they're the same ones for me.
Probably. Art and production is the easy one.
Dice Forge.
And meaningful choices is my other one. And that would be Trajan. And just because of the same reasons that we argued before, that dice rolling kind of nulls a lot of the meaningful choices. You can make all the right choices and still get hosed by the dice. Trajan, you cannot do that.
One that's a little bit, I think, is going in the way of Dice Forge.
Ease of play?
But not by much. Ease of play. I think Dice Forge wins that one. And that's not saying anything. Dice Forge is not... it is a simple game, but it's not simple to learn.
Right.
But I think...
You have a difficult dice building game versus a difficult point salad Euro game to learn.
Yeah.
Like, I would say Trajan is at least a medium weight, even heavyweight Euro game. It's not an easy one to learn.
And I think the reason why I would give it to it, because I think both of them have the possibility of AP prone, but the likelihood to get to a table, I think Dice Forge would win over Trajan just because of that aspect of the heavy Euro. And it's a bit bland, where Dice Forge is very colorful.
Yep.
And the simplicity, people know how to roll dice. It's just that simple. It's
exactly.
You have to build the dice before you roll, but every dice in the beginning of the game comes with their base set.
Like, how does this game work? Oh, you roll the dice. Then what? You look at it, and then that's what you get. Mm-hmm. Oh, I do that every turn? Yeah, that's every turn. Then you
Not
spend what you get
turn.
To buy
Everyone's
other
turn
ones.
You're rolling your dice. Yeah. You just get to do stuff on your turn.
Yep, exactly. So, no, I agree. Ease of play, Dice Forge. Which brings us down to replay value and meaningful choices. Or, I'm sorry, immersion.
So, when it comes to replay value, length of time and scaling well goes to Dice Forge.
Yes.
Minimum numbers of plays for the full experience.
Trajan.
Spendability.
Additional content. Yeah, there is no expansions for Trajan. You're right. So the replay value alone would be to Dice Forge, which means we don't need to go to immersion, which I would have given to Dice Forge, honestly.
So would I.
Yep. I mean, in all fairness, that It earns it. Now, here's the problem with Dice Forge being the winner. It's a fantasy setting. And ours is ancient themed. It is ancient themed.
Based on BGG, so it is a fantasy setting, but...
Yep.
They consider other myth games a fantasy setting. I mean, technically Onitama's a fantasy setting, but only because it's in Japanese Euroverse or whatever.
Euroverse. Yeah, I like that. Now, the question is, if Seven Wonders Duel went on, would you have... Do you think Trajan would have gotten it? I think it would have.
It might have. Ease of Play would go to Seven Wonders Duel.
Right.
Replay Value would go to Seven Wonders Duel.
Mm-hmm.
Meaningful Choice would go to Trajan.
Yeah.
Game Immersion, Art and Production.
Art and Production, I would probably give to Trajan.
I would too, just because the graphic design and the way things work. The components would probably be a wash to me because they're both just a bunch of plastic. The only thing that would push it
bunch over of wood and cardboard
is the art.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But Game Immersion, I think, would have given it to Trajan too, just because. Yeah. As much as I love Seven Wonders Duel, I have way more fun playing Trajan.
Yeah.
That's the one thing out of these categories that we consider subjective rather than objective as our other ones is Game Immersion, because it's stuff that's going to cause more memorable moments and stuff like that.
Right. And I think that, yeah, there's some memorable moments in Seven Wonders Duel, but thematically, it does not feel like you're building a civilization, where Trajan, you're doing a lot of, like, in different ways, you're doing the tasks, you're building your... You're climbing the Senate ranks, you're building buildings, you're settling the areas and expanding your domain. Like, I mean, they're abstracted, yes, but Seven Wonders is way more abstract than this is, you know? Like, oh, yeah. I suddenly now have a card. Like, I built a bathhouse, therefore you never can. Like, what is that?
Yeah, why? I get what you're trying to say.
It's like, I want to build this bathhouse, but instead, I am not going to build it and somehow gain money because of that. You know?
I'm just going over this. I think Dice Forge being at a 6 seed is probably one of our higher games to win.
Yep.
Our higher seed.
The game. Biggest. Yeah, the
It ties for sale so far of being a 6 seed to win.
Yep. So there we go. That's Forge.
Okay. Seven Wonders Duel won the 2-player only game, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have beaten Dice Forge in that.
Let's see here.
Congratulations to Dice Forge and Fun Forge Games for making that, and thank you for creating it. I need to go buy that expansion now.
So do I. I really do need to pick up that expansion. It's such a good game. Yeah, I'm looking at... Oh, wait a minute here. There it is, our second highest to ever win. Tied with, of course, of... what did I say earlier?
Tied with For Sale.
For Sale. Actually, our number 8 seed has actually won before, and that was Carcassonne when it won the Rio Grande Games.
Yes, it did. That's right.
But yep, those are the two lowest seeds so far that have actually won something.
Very cool. So if you're watching us live, you can hang out with us for a few more minutes, and you can join in and help us figure out what we're debating for next week. But if you want to join us live on a future episode, watch us at twitch.tv/everydayboardgames. Normally on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, times vary.
As well as you can find the re-upload of these videos on YouTube at Everyday Board Games 2020. They are going to be implemented in a new setup. They're going to be uploaded Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays as well. Just so everybody knows, as well as the audio versions on Podbean. EBG or Everyday Board Games podcast. They're also Monday, Wednesday, Fridays.
And if you would like to get in contact with us directly and tell us how wrong or right we are, email us at everydayboardgames2020@gmail.com.
As well as you can find us on Twitter at EBG Podcast 2020, where we have a pinned tweet with everything you can go find our social media stuff.
Very cool. So thank you for tuning in to our top 8 debate for Everyday Board Games. I've been Daniel.
And I've been Daniel.
And we will see you for the next Top 8 Debate.